Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Am I doing a big reveal?
Big reveal.
Turn it around.
Oh!
Nice.
It's a gigantic check.
$100,000.
This,
yep. This is fantastic.
$100,000.
I didn't check it. You're Dunsky for the day.
Well, you faced the Eagles on Sunday for the first time since Super Bowl 52. I wanted to ask how long it took you to get over that loss. How long did it take you to get over a loss like that?
He fumbles the football and the Eagles have it.
You assume I'm over it.
I mean, I think you remember those games. Or games I lost in high school. Remember games I lost in Pee Wee football.
Watch N'Keal Harry. He's the X factor in this game. I think he's going to. We're going to have a sighting of N'Keal Harry.
Lead Miles Garrett. They'll be swinging a helmet.
Yeah, there'll be some ejection.
Oh my goodness.
Miles Garrett, the main instigator of this whole situation, has been suspended indefinitely. His season is finished.
Dunsky?
Hey guys, Dunsky for the season.
Right now.
I call Boss by. I say I need one.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So with all the stuff the league is...
I have more Dimitri
is,
calls.
What's your name?
I love Dimitri. Dimitri from Andover.
And you had no... Andover. No, he was from Danvers.
Danvers, sorry.
And you had no clue.
Zero.
Bush by Danvers.
Bush by. So when I go Bush by, I ask for
this,
one.
This whirlpool shelly.
I call Bush by, I say I need one.
It's amazing.
I was impressed.
You do all these prank calls and they pick a first minute somebody's going, oh, that's Christian Fourier.
Would you say I have a probably about an 80% success rate, Lou? At least 80% success rate.
I'm a Pats fan living in New York.
I mean,
this is Christian Fourier.
Okay, that's one. That's one. Where are the other ones?
So wait a minute. I
always felt like you went too squeaky.
No. Well, I mean, I did it
too
early.
You're too here.
No, out of the gate, yeah. Lou gave me some coaching advice, yeah. And I used it, and it worked.
Just an accent without the squeak.
Christian, you can't even identify your co-host when he calls you to do a prank.
I didn't know. I heard it too.
Hey, I've pranked you before. You just don't know it.
Oh, you've never pranked me.
Hey, how you doing?
That's it. That's how I sounded.
Mr. Foyer.
That was actually impressive.
It was good.
I was so shocked. That was on a different station.
I have lady friend.
That was good.
Where were you anyways when you were doing that?
Were you just laying in?
It was late.
I was awake.
Okay, sorry. I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Sit at the bar,
obvious. I wasn't sure. I was like, I feel like you would be in bed.
Oh. We do it on top of wash machine.
I stay up late. What are you talking about?
The Celtics must have just ended then.
Very good.
It was. So Miles Garrett caused a lot of embarrassment to the National Football League last night.
You should hear the call.
But you will hear the call in a second, but the commissioner was very quick to react today. So the NFL said, we're not going to mess around with this. We're going to get to it right away, not going to let it linger on. We've got games this weekend. Plus, we get the big Kaepernick tryout on Saturday in Atlanta. So what did they do? They nailed him today with a suspension out for the rest of the season. That will include playoffs if the Cleveland Browns get into the postseason. And then they're going to address it next year. So they're leaving the door open.
Good.
That there's going to be more to it. Marquise Pouncey got himself three games. And Ogunjobi got himself a single game. That's the discipline. Now, there were a bunch of fines.
Now, Ogunjobi
because everybody
was the guy who came and knocked Mason Rudolph down after the play was over.
Yeah, I don't think he should have got anything. I think anyone who
even walks out, yeah, maybe a fine. Either way, I would be good either way.
I mean, only three guys got suspended. Sure. He's one of them because he ran out and hit him late. Whatever.
But he got it because
he pushed him.
Because this is one of the worst things that the league has ever seen.
Yeah.
Had that happened earlier in that game, it wouldn't be nothing.
No, I think Garrett deserves to be suspended for the rest of the year, and I would give him at least a game next year. Because I think I would just turn it to, hey, by the way, week one, I just want to send another reminder.
Symbolic. Yeah.
Week one, that there is one of the great players in this game that can't play because of what happened last year. So we're kicking off the year. I don't want to see that if I'm the commissioner. I don't want to see that this year. And here's the reminder. He's not playing week one or week two. And everybody can talk about why. So we don't forget what the hell happened, you know, there in Cleveland. So I could see it extending that. I could see Pouncey going from 3-2. And the other guy, he probably shouldn't even be suspended in my mind. But they got it right.
Okie-Jobe?
Yeah, he should be fine.
So the Cleveland Browns and Baker
Okie-Jobe.
Okie-Jobe.
And Baker Mayfield did it right after the game. He sat there and said, you know, it's bad. And we saw the coach. We saw the ownership. Myles Garrett did it last night in front of his locker. Basically said, you know, it's wrong. Today he came out with a statement, a strong statement saying, you know, this obviously is not him, but he did it and he's going to take responsibility. And the same thing we got on the other side, because he did apologize to Mason Rudolph, and Rudolph kind of said he's okay, he's fine, which gave you the impression nothing more is going to happen with this, right? And then you have Mason Rudolph's agent weigh into all of this. This is Tim Younger. He said there are many risks an NFL quarterback assumes with every snap taken on the field, being hit on your uncovered head by a helmet, being swung by a 275-pound defensive end is not one of them. Tonight could have had a catastrophic ending. The matter will be reviewed thoroughly. So when you hear that, is that the sound of a lawyer being a little intimidating that maybe we're going to thoroughly...
You haven't heard the last of me.
Right.
I'm coming after you.
The league has already dealt with the problem.
Yep.
He's coming out and saying the matter will be reviewed thoroughly. Rudolph is saying, even today, I'm good to go. I'm fine.
So, I mean, that's such a lawyer, just grandstanding move. Lawyer/agent.
This is Tim the lawyer.
Yeah, Tim the lawyer. Oh, we can have our own lawyer.
Yes,
how about that? Call in once a week. Right. Take our calls. Listen, this is bad. And I don't care whether you play it in real time or you slow it down. This was such a terrible act. Now, nobody died, so I don't want people calling up, complaining, and saying that we're not taking this seriously. We are taking it seriously. We do think it was terrible. We do think it was ugly, but nobody died. If Mason Rudolph's head like split open and it's part of his brain was exposed, then I would say you'd have a very different reaction. It's bad now. Imagine if that happened. Imagine if he's on the ground bleeding out.
Obviously extreme, right? But if he just got knocked out.
And like he did earlier.
Obviously concussed. They take him in. They're helping him off the field. He can barely stand.
Yeah.
We've seen that many times in this league. Then, you know, I think that would be, you know, I don't know, maybe the reaction people would be a little bit more furious about this thing. But the fact that he stood there and raised his hands like, hey, where's the flag? Hey, what are we doing? I think, you know, you just sort of look at it and say, just suspend the guy. Suspend him for the rest of the season. I say you extend it to next year, just as a reminder.
What drives me nuts, and Deion Sanders, oh God, these always drives me nuts. Himself. I know they can't, right? This is from Deion Sanders. Mason Rudolph should be significantly fined as well for trying to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off his head, which ignited the retaliation. He's not without fault in the unfortunate matter. This is a physical, emotional game played by men. Let's not forget that at NFL Network, hashtag truth. Okay, fine.
I don't understand this suddenly I'm not turning the tables.
No, but here's the thing.
Mason Rudolph.
To a point, I would agree. You guys believe he deserves
no, I do.
A fine.
He got fined. Yes.
Right, but it's just sort of like, you know, this is like, I can always compare it to like baseball, but it's like, well, Batista got into Odor's face. Well, he didn't think that Odor was going to knock him the F out, you know what I mean, by punching him, you know? So this is like, yeah, okay, they were tussling. Everything we saw, we've seen so many times in the NFL. We've seen it before. We've seen fights. You know, we've seen guys and quarterbacks going at offensive linemen trying to pull them up. A fight happens. We've seen guys rip helmets off of other players. What we've never seen is a guy take that helmet and try to hit another player over the head who's not wearing a helmet.
Yeah, but what they're trying
to do... If Myles Garrett took that helmet off because Baker Mayfield... I mean, you know, Rudolph for some reason was trying to rip it off. If he took off Rudolph's helmet and chucked it across the field, fine. We've seen that many times, too. But he tried to hit him over the... Actually, he did. He hit him over the head with the helmet.
But the whole idea, and Deion Sanders is doing the same thing others have done today, to kind of make it sound like Mason Rudolph instigated all of this. First of all, let's look at the facts. The facts were that Mason Rudolph had released the ball in a pass. 8 seconds left in the game in a pass. It was out the flat on the left side. Then he got hit after that, after he released the pass, by Myles Garrett. It was a late hit. Myles Garrett continued, 275-pound defensive end, continued to grab him, hold him on the ground. If you're a quarterback, game is over, son. Let's get out of here. I don't want to get hurt. I want to play next week. We're out of here. We've seen Brady do this when guys get on him, hit him, keep him down on the ground. He doesn't want to stay there. So what do? You start grabbing the guy's face mask, shoulder pad, whatever you can to get the guy off him. To me, what Mason Rudolph did was normal behavior. Now, if he were the one that were jumping on top of Myles Garrett and trying to grab the helmet, I would feel totally different. That was not the case. Garrett had his entire body positioned over a Rudolph. So what could he do?
Even if it's a fair fight, one big guy against another big guy, it's Myles Garrett versus Pouncey. If Myles Garrett ripped off Pouncey's helmet and swung it at him to hit him in the head, I'd still say the same thing. Well, it makes it worse because it's a quarterback and he's small and he's defenseless. No, everything that went on before that was fine. Mason Rudolph attacking, sorry to use Max Kellerman's word, charging at Myles Garrett. That's fine.
Idiotic.
It doesn't matter. He swung his freaking helmet.
So that's Max Kellerman's take on all this, that Garrett was just defending himself, and thank God Lewis Riddick just took him apart.
What's he going to do?
He charged at him.
He ran towards him. That happens all the time. What was he going to do?
That's not Myles Garrett's concern.
Did he swing it?
It should be.
If you see someone charging at you, and you're in a fight, and their boys are holding you back, you might swing. You have a choice. Okay, you're right. I'm Myles Garrett. I'm 6'5", 285. And here comes Mason Rudolph jawing at me about the fact that I just ripped his helmet off, and I have his helmet in my hand.
Well, you think he's jawing? He looked to me like he was trying to attack.
Oh, come on, man.
Mason Rudolph
ain't going to do you know what to Myles Garrett.
Whoa, you think because Myles Garrett wins the fight, that means he can't defend himself?
Yeah, okay, so I'll tell you what then. The next time somebody charges at me, I can just pick up whatever's near me and just clock you over the head.
If someone charges at you, correct!
Unbelievable.
Well, but hold on, this is different than, can we just admit that what's going on the field is different than some guy going to a smoothie place and then getting into a fight?
Yes.
And somebody's charged. Yeah, pick up whatever you can find. Bring the green slushy. I don't care. Hit him on the top of the head with a chair. It doesn't matter. But it's football, so everyone's getting all uptight about it. And it's bad, but nobody died, and everybody's fine. If it had a different outcome, okay, fine. Let's dissect that. But the guy's going to get fined for at least the entire season. And to your point earlier, Lou, I would give him two more games to start next season. I would sit there and make sure everybody knows that this type of behavior is just not being. It's not going
to
deal with it.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to kind of start the year, right? We don't want to have this incident again.
Yeah, so let's all go back and remember how last year ended.
Well, let's all try to remember why Myles Garrett is not playing week one or week two.
See, the impressive part about this is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, after the game, I feel like Baker Mayfield grew up last night. Because after the game, this is the first adult thing I've ever heard him say.
What was your reaction as you were watching it unfold?
I didn't see why it started, but it's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough. We'll see.
Mason Rudolph, a friend of yours, Myles Garrett, a teammate of yours. What were you saying to your teammates over there to kind of calm everybody down?
I don't think there's anything in that moment that I can really say to calm him down. You know what? The reality is he's going to get suspended. We don't know how long, and that hurts our team. And we can't do that. We can't continue to hurt this team. It's inexcusable.
All right, impressive. I agree. And matter of fact, I would say the entire Cleveland Brown organization. Because a lot of times when something happens like this, you defend your teammate when the game is, I didn't see the tape. I didn't see the video. I'll have to go back and look at something like that. They're not doing that. They all condemned the play. They condemned the player for doing it when the game was over.
Right.
Everybody was doing that. All right. And that was the best way to deal with that. So I think we all agree. that the suspension was the right suspension, and if they suspend it for a game or two next year, Lou, it probably sends a good message.
Yeah.
Commissioner says we're not doing this anymore. But then what you got is a lot of people that were putting extensions onto this. How about Peter King? Couldn't wait for this one this morning. Pandering Peter King. Okay? This is his tweet. This morning, 8:18 a.m., as everybody now is responding on social media with what they saw, because a lot of people left the game. That game was over. You left the game, and you weren't there for the last 8 seconds. So now you watched it on SportsCenter or elsewhere, on the Internet. This is Peter King's tweet today. Interested in hearing from parents of youth football players or parents on the fence about allowing kids to play football about the Garrett incident. Write me at peterkingyadayada@gmail.com for Monday's column. How does the game of youth football and the violence within the game of football have anything to do with something that I don't think any of us have ever seen before, a player actually taking his helmet and pounding another player over the head when that other player didn't have a helmet on? How does that have anything to do with youth football?
Fantastic question.
I was going to send out that same, like a similar email, you know, to the parents that are thinking about your kid playing baseball. How do you feel about the sign-stealing thing going on in Houston?
That's a good example.
Like, are you
so
disgusted that you don't feel like your son should play Little League because of what's going on in Houston? Like what? So you're on the fence, either letting your kid play Papuana or not, and you're thinking about letting him play it, and all of a sudden you watch this game last night, you see Miles Garrett lose his ever-loving mind. You know, you see a fight on a football field, and you say, you know what? I'm afraid that's going to happen Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Oh,
I'm not going to let you do it.
What? I mean,
or
I
Sunday at 11 o'clock. I'm not going to let you do it.
What is the, if as a parent, would you say, you know what? No, I didn't realize there was that much violence.
Yeah.
Post end of, when the play is over, the play is dead. That's what happens.
Is that
going to
happen? Can you imagine if they found out that they're actually playing Psycho on the weekend? You know, playing a team called Psycho? What? I'm not. No, you can't play football.
It's the Scituate Cohasset team. It's SCI. It's
playing Psycho. I'm out.
They're not psychos. They're not
really crazy?
No.
Is it a
hospital? It's not the real psychos.
Very intimidating.
You would really love to have played that game.
Jump off the fence.
To me, this is simply pandering. And if he's going to write a column for Monday's column about this and in any way incorporate youth football, so it's not going to change whatever the parents perceive right now as the violent game of football for youth football. The game is what it is right now, and you could sit there and say, well, there are ways of making it safer. But are you going to, if you're a parent, suddenly say, oh, my God, maybe there's a little Miles out there that wants to take his helmet off and crack my kid over the head. I'm not putting my kid in football.
Yeah,
That's it.
And then when the kid does that and the coach goes up to him and says, hey, man, I don't coach that. Why are you doing that? I got it from watching Miles Garrett. Mm-hmm. I got it from watching Miles Garrett.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
So, how about Joe Buck?
And wow, it tops Randy Moss when he was doing a fake drop.
Oh, disgusting
most disgusting
act
thing
that was.
He'd ever seen until this point last night.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And so the crazy part is Freddie Kitchens. So Freddie Kitchens, we got to start with him, right? I know Lombardi said it's the GM.
He's done, by the way.
I feel like it's...
I almost feel like we're picking on Freddie Kitchens right now because everybody was picking on him, especially after the game last night.
I actually thought he handled himself pretty well.
His team is too talented. They're too immature for him.
Yes.
So that's just the bottom line. They're talented. But, they're just too immature. They're not disciplined. Judging by the chaos, they're leading the league in penalties. They got guys ejected. They're an absolute mess.
Yeah, but
and after you listen to the guy, you can figure out why.
Yeah, he can't handle this stuff. There's no question, and he's the wrong guy. But getting back to what Lombardi was saying, and I totally agree with him. I think the ownership there, Jimmy Haslam gets all excited because he's got these marquee players. I know another owner in Washington loved getting marquee players, never was able to collectively put good players together to win on the football field, but he loved the stars. So you look at the stars, and how are they stars? Their personalities on Cleveland. Okay, so you got a couple of wide receivers, personalities, all right? Baker Mayfield, personality, all right? This guy, personality. None of it works on the football field because you don't have any coach at the top who's going to sit there and put these guys in their place.
So that's funny you said that because they asked him. They asked Freddie Kitchens after the game, and I love it when, you know, when really, you know, hoity-toity, I think I'm better than you reporters, try to check a good old boy from the country. The country boy always puts the hoity-toity reporter in his place.
Freddie, there were a couple helmet-to-helmet hits, too, another ejection. Do you think there's a systemic problem on your team?
I don't know. What do you like? I'm not smart enough to understand what you said. So tell me what you want to. Just ask me point blank what you're asking.
You think the team's out of control?
No. I think people get helmet to helmet contacts every week. I think Miles wishes he had used better composure with 5 seconds to go in the game.
I love it. I don't know what systemic. Yeah,
you can't control this, though. You're right, but he's a good old country boy.
I'm not smart enough.
Right? He should be an offensive coordinator. He and Baker should be buddies. He should not be the head coach.
Give me some simple words.
He'll be very talented.
Want me to read a Chris Gasper column? I'm not capable. I can't do it.
Can't do it.
I can't do it.
I mean, honestly, but I kind of there's some aspects of Freddie Kitchens that I really like.
What's that?
Like that.
Which one?
Like,
okay.
Stop with the whole
he's
systemic
just
thing.
Point blank. What
just ask me. What do you want? You think? Basically, it was like, you guys think I can't control my team. You guys think that I am powerless.
Yes, legitimate question.
Well, you said earlier the proof is in the stats.
They can't.
They're the second most penalized team in the NFL.
Plus, they're one.
Is that right?
I think I saw like they're on record. They're on pace to break, first off, the Browns' record of most penalties in the year, set in like 1970-something or other. Yeah, they're out of control.
And they're underachievers, fast underachievers. They should be better than this. They're not. And he's part of the problem. And again, the personalities they decided they were going to put on this football team are also part of the problem. They want to be bigger than the team. And listen, he's one and out. He's not going to get a head coaching job again. And this incident last night makes it even worse for him going forward. People are never going to forget this last night. This is not one of those things that go away. You remember, you know, Rudy Tomjanovich, you remember certain moments over the years, the Haynesworth one.
Yeah.
Okay, stomping on the Dallas Cowboys center's head, face, and ripping it. I mean, you don't forget stuff like that.
I mean,
that.
I do remember, there was a time when I was with the Seahawks, and I remember this defensive
Did we call those the good old days, or they're not like the Patriot good old days?
I didn't know how far back I'm going. You have no idea.
It's not like the Patriot good old days, though.
No. Every time you tell old, I remember I did end up like punching at some guy in the ding ding. He was standing over me.
Is that what you call it?
The ding-ding.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, what time is it right now? I don't know. I want to be careful.
Do you want a disclaimer again?
Yeah,
you
I
and
do
Kim?
Need a disclaimer. And I remember like punching at him, and I got flagged for it. I wasn't necessarily aiming for that spot, but I remember I didn't care if I made contact either.
Right.
The fact that I was defenseless, the fact that he had gotten the better of me, and I was like, screw this, last refuge.
Lost your mind. All right, let me get to the phone call. Some people want to talk about this, and PJ is in Dudley. PJ.
Hey, guys. Did you guys see when Michael Irvin talked to the guys after the game? He talked to Jarvis Landry and Odell.
Yeah, they were out on the table there, right, on the field, yeah.
Yeah, and they were, once he asked them about what they thought about Myles Garrett, I saw Jarvis Landry laughing to Odell about it. I was just wanting to see what you guys thought about that.
Not a good look again, right?
I didn't see it.
Not a good look. I didn't see it, but I've seen it. People posted today. Not a good look.
Yeah, I haven't seen it there. I think it was somebody else too. I heard the afternoon guy saying, the reporter on the field saying that the Browns were celebrating. On the side, I don't know. I didn't see that. I know what I saw, and I can comment on what I saw. I didn't see the interview afterwards. So if they were laughing, yeah, they shouldn't have been. I mean, do we have to debate that?
No, I think it makes you look even worse because most people were fairly solemn when the game was over. Now, that yak fest they do there with the table and whatever, it was a little looser. They weren't really focusing in heavily on the Garrett thing. At least when I was watching, I actually flipped over to ESPN at that point. And they were talking about it exclusively, nonstop, and that's where Damian Woody looked like he was ready to cry. The insult of
are you going to go to Tim?
Please go to Tim.
Let's go to Tim and Easton.
I don't believe him.
Hi, Tim. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Tim.
So I'm my stepson has some behavior issues, and I've been wanting to use football as the kid's huge. His shoulders are getting bigger than mine. He's 6 years old, and I want to use football as a way to.
Wait, I'm sorry. How old is he?
6 years old.
Okay.
He's about to turn 7. And he's going to want to hit things when he gets older. And I want to use football as a way to, kind of control that and use it in a controlled manner.
So, Tim, you're the father, right?
Something like that.
Tim, you're the father? So when you see something like that, because we'll see stuff like that in life. You see stuff in movies sometimes where people murder other people and everything else. So as a parent, isn't it your job to sit there and to explain to little Timmy, you know, what you need to do here is
my job is to not let him touch a gun, but I'm going to let him on a football field, and he's going to have that weapon in his hand, and now he sees that he can use it as a weapon.
Well, but when have you ever seen this?
You can still talk to him about that, though, correct?
Easily.
Yeah, of course. Oh, he didn't watch it. I'm not going to let him see it.
Yeah, but Tim, do you think the coaches are going to tell him, hey, by the way, if you're in trouble, Tim, just take your helmet.
Actually, you know what? I think he should see it.
Absolutely.
Because then he could talk about how he's got
anything that he sees.
Well, I think he should see it. And then you tell him he got suspended, and he's thrown out of the league, and he lost $1.5 million. And this is what happens when you lose control, and you got to keep your emotions in control.
What? I like that as a teaching lesson, but it definitely still makes me hesitate to allow him to continue watching this violent sport when I know that he has a little violence inside of him, you know?
But that's not the game. The game of football
is not what
you... I actually
thought this was a joke. I thought he was being, like sarcastic.
No, that's it.
Well, let me give you Peter King's email address, because he's looking for
you should write in.
Like
you should write a letter.
I don't understand that, Tim. I think, if anything, this is a great learning moment, teaching moment, to be able to sit there and say to your kid, this is not football. Because guess what? Everybody else is saying the same thing, Tim. Everybody around the league is saying, this is not football. This was an outrageous act. It was not football. It was a man trying to actually harm somebody when the game was actually over. Can't have that.
Yeah, of course.
So Tim. Yeah, I appreciate it. I want you to listen. So you can hang on. You can hang up and listen. But this is from Boomer and Geo. They had a guy call in this morning who actually started crying, could not catch his breath because of what happened last night.
Tony's in Westchester. What's going on, Tony?
How are you today?
Good, Tony. What's up?
This is a sad day for NFL. This is so upsetting. I can't even. It's just mind-boggling. He could have killed that quarterback last night with that helmet. The spearing, the head, I can't get over it. They have to do something drastic. This guy should be thrown out of the league. There's no way in the world he should play another game in the NFL. My kids, today I'm upset. Last night, it's just terrible. Okay. It's gut-wrenching. He could have killed Rudolph last night. It's just beyond anything I've ever seen.
Tony, I mean, this really hits you hard, man. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, this is not good. Not good for football.
This is the dumbest thing. Can I go back to the caller?
What is this last caller, Tim?
How is it not the parent's responsibility when you see something bad? For an example, when you're a young child, you want to teach your kids how to cross the street. Now, maybe they have seen in a movie. Maybe they have seen it real life.
Hey, show them someone get hit and killed.
Somebody get hit and killed. Okay. So,
it's not the video you put together. Hopefully you can teach them. It isn't.
But do you, because somebody was hit and killed in an accident crossing the crosswalk, you never let your child ever cross the crosswalk ever again?
No, you teach them.
I hold their hand.
No, this guy wouldn't show him that person that got hit by a car because he doesn't want that in his mind. I'm with you. I think when things happen, you talk about them and say, look, these are the consequences. Can no longer play. He's out. You know, and maybe they'll let him play next year. So I would show my son what the hell he did and tell him what the hell happened.
Well, I tell you what.
So upsetting.
Peter King started this today, and this really is starting to piss me off. Because I understand parents have to make a decision about kids playing football, and especially when you do it at a young age, because as Christian obviously knows, it's a violent sport, and people can get hurt. We get it. We understand it. But how anybody can correlate what happened last night, where a player lost his mind, okay, a professional player lost his mind when the play was over. It's not part of the rules of the game. You can't take your helmet off, can't take somebody else's helmet off, and in any way try to connect the dots to why their kids shouldn't be playing youth football. Your decision on youth football should be based on the rules and what they're dealing with right now with the violence of the game. You as a parent make that decision. Don't tell me that suddenly you've changed your mind after you were going to let little Timmy play football, and then when you saw what happened last night, said, uh-oh, that's it, because I'm afraid some young kid's going to take his helmet off, and then he's going to hit him over the head.
Yeah.
This is not good.
It's not good.
So, I mean, you watched like helmet to helmet. What was the kid last night who got thrown out of the game?
Yes.
Who hit Johnson, right? The wide receiver?
Yeah.
They said that kid was taken off the field, had blood coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
Right? Jeez. So the other kid gets thrown out. I don't know. Do we not talk about that? Is that too scary? Is somebody going to get upset? Is somebody going to be crying over that? Like, yes. It's awful, but it's just, listen, it's a violent game. That situation where that's a violent hit in a game, and guy got tossed for it. This wasn't football. And I don't care what Mason Rudolph did underneath the pile. I don't care if he tried to rip his helmet or not.
It's irrelevant.
You know, if Myles Garrett ripped his helmet off and chucked it across the field, fine.
Right.
But he smacked him just over the head with his helmet.
Yeah. You can only imagine what it would have been like today if he had hit him with the crown of the helmet, okay, and got him right here.
He hit him good.
Yeah, and who knows what would happen. Except he got him with the underneath part of the helmet.
Yeah,
the back,
I still got him,
with
though.
His padding. Got him good, but this would have been a lot worse, I think. A lot worse. Guy that
big. My kids.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 617-779-7937. Back to your phone calls and this story the NFL has to deal with. More of those nasty headlines.
Mason didn't come at him like cocked, ready to swing on him. He came at him jawing at him, Max. I mean, that's the reality of it. The reality is, I promise you this. If you asked Myles Garrett,
I just saw him put his right hand on him.
Oh, come on.
What's really? That? What's that?
Do you think Myles Garrett was worried about what he was going
to... Wait, that is not for you to judge.
Okay, so wait.
Mason Rudolph charged him and put his hand on his arm.
Okay,
if I was listening to Max Kellerman right now, if I was Troy Vincent and I was John Runyon, I'd add a couple of more games on the damn suspension to Garrett just because of the idiocy of coming out of your mouth.
Can I make a bold prediction?
Yes.
Max Kellerman is falling off the cliff. This is it. Cliff. Yeah. He's lost his
self-defense.
Freaking mind.
What do you expect? Mason Rudolph was charging at him. We had a caller say the same thing.
Just lost
it's like, dude, I think Myles Garrett gives a rat's ass about Mason Rudolph charging at him with no helmet on.
And so
what are you going to do? Punch me in the, going to hit me on the chest like a little 2-year-old? Like,
and it's not like there was guys in front of him. So when Mason Rudolph, charged at him, there were linemen in between him. Because when Myles Garrett decided to hit him with the helmet, he had to go up and over the offensive linemen that were in his way. It wasn't just like, bam, free shot. He had to go up and over to get him. So, I mean, fine. If you want to use that as an excuse, because maybe if I'm Myles Garrett, I would say, well, what do you want me to do? He was attacking me.
I swear to God, there's no logic applied with some of these people we've heard from today and Max Kellerman on TV. It's just no logic. It's just you're trying too hard. You're sitting there and you want to be the contrarian. Some people do that. They love to be the contrarian, which is fine. But at least be somewhat logical. How can anybody look at this and say, oh, no, Mason Rudolph, he intimidated him. He created it. That's where it started from. And all Myles Garrett was doing was defending himself. Come on. It just idiots.
I saw him put his right hand on him.
Oh, come on.
What's that?
Please. Jim is up in Vermont. Hey, Jim.
Hey. Yeah, just wanted to mention that nobody that I've heard all day today, there's an actual rule in place about what Garrett did. It's actually known as the Lyle Alzado rule.
Yes.
He ripped somebody's helmet off on the jet, threw it at him in the middle of the game, and he got a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, talk about a little crazy.
And everybody is outraged about what's going on that they've never seen it before. It's happened before, and there's an actual rule in place about it.
Well, that goes back to the early 80s, so you got to go back pretty far, right? And that's why most people are sitting there going, oh, my God. But you're right, and that's when they changed the rule. Right.
Right, but one of the big differences, I think, is I don't recall people being totally outraged that they're never going to let their kids play football again because of it.
No, this is stupid.
No. Well, you talking back then when Lyle Alzado did it?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Nobody
thought football was violent.
Don Cherry was the color man of that game. Like, you know, nobody cared about anything back then.
No. Max Kellerman actually read the rule today, because the rule basically says you cannot take your helmet off and can't take somebody else's helmet off. And so he said, it already states in the rule book what you do if somebody does that, and that is you throw the flag. They did throw the flag, Max. The flag was thrown, okay? And then he says, well, there's nothing else you can do. What do you mean there's nothing else you can do? The NFL always sits and they abide by the rules on the field. But then do we not see suspensions after the fact, a few days later, or fines based on new information, evidence, or they have an opportunity in New York to sit down and watch
this
stuff?
The last caller's right. Like, you know, we've seen that before. You talk about, like, it's like a baseball guy grabbing a bat, going after a pitcher. We've seen that before. We've seen guys throw bats, whatever. We've seen it. But, you know, once in a while. It's not like we see it every other third week.
No.
You know what I mean? Once we talk about Lyle Alzado, what year was that? 83, for God's sakes. Okay. So you can say we've seen it, but not everybody's been watching football for 35, whatever it is, years.
A little roid rage going there, too. Here's
Lyle Alzado? Yeah. You know, he actually spoke at my college.
Did he really?
He spoke at my college. This was when he was really sick, and he couldn't make any sense. He couldn't stay on point. It was all over the place. I mean, I think he died maybe a month and a half later, but he was doing this college tour to convince kids, like, listen, don't take steroids. This is what it does to you.
Right.
So you would ask him a question. Hey, Mr. Lazaro, okay, what would you do about this? He wouldn't answer it because he was answering a question 4 questions ago. Oh. I mean, I laugh about it now, but back then I was like, that's pretty serious.
Yeah. I'm not doing steroids. No. Chris is in Ashland. Hi, Chris.
Yes, how you doing, guys? Good show. I just want to thank, Christian for bringing the awareness, most importantly, on that campaign that he started the other day.
No problem.
And, Lou, you got to smile a little more at the microphone, all right?
Yeah, I always do.
My thing is, you got to back up that replay of what happened. The Garrett grabbed Rudolph and squeezed him. You can see him squeezing him on the way down. So on the way down, what does he want to do? He wants to pull his helmet off because he's hurting him.
Yeah.
So he's trying to pull the helmet off. But if you look back, it all started with, you know, and it's respect of the game. Just like Lou would know going into second when you're trying to take a guy out. Some guys don't have respect at all. They want to take your head off coming into second or coming into home. You know, and it's the same with football. They, you know, he could have come up on him and not knocked him. It was the last play of the game. He didn't have to knock him down on the ground. But if you look, these guys are so big, this defense, they want to hurt anybody they can to knock them out of the game. And it's pretty sad that it comes down to that. Not all of them. There are some good players that hold up, you know, and they don't take the guy out, which is, that's respect of the game.
All right. Yeah, you know, the strange thing is, like, you know, the game was over. They had won. It wasn't like the frustrations of the night. Like, Myles Garrett almost got Mason Rudolph a few times, but Rudolph lit up the Cleveland Browns, and Pittsburgh's leading 35-14, and the frustration just built up. No, they beat them. They beat their ass. The game was over. It's what, 8 seconds, 10 seconds left?
Eight.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, is there history? I think earlier in the game they had a little tussle on the ground, maybe a little bit. You never know history, right? I don't know. College? I have no clue.
A&M,
Okie State, I think.
No, it's still a quarterback. So
well,
what?
You know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
sometimes,
no, I get it.
Sometimes you ever get a guy in the NFL and, like, 3 years in, you played him once, and you're like,
Cleveland,
all of a sudden it's coming back to life. So, but the game is over.
Cleveland, Pittsburgh, there's a little
now
bit
you're done
of
for the year. Now, your team that actually thought, you know, was 6 to go, that maybe if you went 5-1, you could have squeaked in. Do you think they can do it now without this guy?
No.
And by the way, chances.
And by the way, they play in Pittsburgh 2 weeks from
now. That should be a good game.
And especially, what do you think those Pittsburgh Steelers fans are going to be like to the Cleveland Browns?
Well, that's why you're going to get, you know, I'm trying to think. Like, that's why they reduce it to 2 games for Pouncey. So he comes back and misses the Cleveland game.
Yep.
Miles Garrett's gone, right? So it's not like you've taken that out of the equation.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be. It's not like if Myles Garrett was playing, hell would break loose in Pittsburgh.
Aiden is in a truck.
Aiden.
Hey, guys. What's up? Your show a lot.
Thank you.
Really good. I was going to make a comment about the call. I think his name was Tim, like a couple callers ago, 3-4. I don't know. He was just talking about how he was going to try to keep his kids away from guns or whatever, but was afraid to, like, teach him not to hit people with a football helmet and saying things about how his kid was already kind of like showing violent tendencies.
Yeah.
I think everybody's got violence inside them, right? So the whole point about growing up and learning is learning how to like control the violence inside you and not being a lunatic. And if he's just afraid to teach his kid to not be aggressive and violent, like, you probably shouldn't have had a kid in the first place. Like, teaching him not to play football isn't going to protect anybody. The kid's just going to be a lunatic.
Tim will be happy to hear that. Shouldn't have had kids anyway. I just know what I mean. I know exactly what you mean.
And, like, you know, my kids got favorite athletes, and next thing you know, they get suspended or thrown out of the league. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know,
yeah, but it's your job as a parent to
explain. No, it's an opportunity to talk to them what they did wrong. And this is called accountability. And look what happened to him. Look how great of a player he is, and now look at him. Now look what he's doing because he made this mistake. He made that mistake. Don't do that. You know, rather than sit there and say, ooh, I'm not going to tell him what happened to this player because I don't want him to see it and think that, ooh,
turn the TV
maybe
off.
I'll go do that. Like, what is that?
Well, that's what we do right
At some
now.
Point, they're going to be exposed to everything. Why don't you help them on that journey?
Lou, we don't even explain history to people anymore, to our kids. What we do is we hide it. You know, we make it up like it never happened. And then we formulate our own little history. This is how history should have been. No, history was performed and it happened. Okay? And so we learn from history. And this kid could learn from what happened last night. A parent could sit there and say, I want you to sit down and watch this. Don't ever do this in a football field. And by the way, listen to all these people. Don't listen to Max Kellerman. He's an idiot. Listen to all of these other people. And they are all upset about this. They're all saying how bad it is. Damian Woody is practically in tears. Watch some of these other professional football players and what they're saying, how bad it was. It's a learning and teaching experience. It's easy. What are we talking about? Peter King's going to do a whole column now on how it's going to affect.
Yeah, based on the emails that he gets from his listeners and his followers.
Oh, my God.
This is a sad day for NFL.
It is a sad day. Here's Joe in New Bedford. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how we doing, boss?
Good. What's how you up? Doing?
All right. Hey, so my brother literally hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat and killed him.
Oh,
I have three kids. Do you think that I would not let my kids hold a baseball bat because, oh, your uncle killed somebody, so you're not going to be able to hold a baseball bat ever again? That just makes me laugh. Like, these people literally look for any reason to complain and say, oh, I'm not going to let my kid do this and this, this, and that. I coached football for 5 years. My kids, I told them, I said, somebody gets the better of you, guess what? You remember their number. The next play or the next time they get the ball, you go out there and you light them up. It's that simple. You teach them, like you're saying. You teach them. This is how we do things. This is your consequences if you don't abide by the rules and you make an example about it. It's that simple. All these parents that are sitting there saying they're not going to let their kids play, they probably shouldn't be on the football field anyways because they're going to be the kids that I used to put in because they needed minimum plays. Oh, they need 8 plays.
Right.
Like, seriously. You
yeah.
got all
no, you're right. You're right, Joe.
I think you do take age into consideration. I mean, I saw a guy crowding to play. I told my son to drill him. You know, he's 9. But he opened up the other half. No, you can't do that, right? I mean, you got to take consideration certain age. Like when he says, oh, he lit you up? Well, you go up to it next time and light him up. Are we talking about 7-year-olds or are we talking about 18-year-old kids?
All right, well, listen, if you're thinking about betting on some of the games, if you're needing some good advice, I really feel like there's only one place to go. That's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Which brings us to the Lock of the Week.
I got a good one.
Brought to you by Craft Master Hardware. Security hardware and locksmith supplies for your business at craftmasterhardware.com. Lou.
I got a good one. It's your game.
My game.
Pats, giving four. Give the four. They're going to light this team up.
So positive.
No, they are.
Isn't he positive?
They are.
Now?
Well, I didn't like him last week. I told
Patriot
you.
Patriot hater. He had all the people
Patriots
calling him
Patriots whisper.
Pissed off.
Note to
him.
Self. Yeah. Pick opposite of what Lou tells you.
I'm the
you
only
do.
When it comes to the Pats. I'm the only one 9-0. But so this one here, yeah, this is a blow up. They do. They handle this team. I don't think Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, it's not. Last night I'm on TV and it's, oh, can the Eagles beat them the same way Ravens can? No, nobody can. Because nobody has Lamar Jackson. Like, Pat Mahomes is not Lamar Jackson. Like, he's a runner. So this Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, okay, Wentz. Yeah, they got some tight ends. Jeffrey's out of the game. This defense, they don't run against them. I think they got a week and a half. They've been challenged. I think offensively they're more comfortable. They move the football and they blow this team out. Pats given four. Lock.
Do we have a record, a tally going on for Lou?
It's got to be at least 7-2.
I think it's two and six.
Seven.
That's three, right. He got both picks against the Patriots early, and then he had some other fluky wins.
So he's been good with the Patriots. He should stay with the Patriots because he had the Patriots pick right 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
you should
stick
with the Patriots. You just suck with the other
Raiders.
Team. What are you talking about? You're 3-6.
2 weeks
last
ago,
year,
you said
I took the Bears.
You said there's no chance Aaron Rodgers loses to the Chargers.
I did. That's one of the losses. Listen,
Packers scored 11.
The other one was Teddy Bridgewater going to Seattle. You know what? I'll take those.
Stop picking against the Saints.
I'll take those. Yes, I'll take those.
Oh, boy.
If you thought that Rodgers was going to do that, God bless you.
What a, What a sham this is. Now more than 24 NFL teams are expected to be at the workout in Atlanta tomorrow for Colin Kaepernick, according to Shefty.
More than 24.
More than 24.
Is that 25
teams.
Or is that 32?
It could be. Somewhere between 24 and 32.
I like it.
This hour has been brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic. Last call's coming up. We did a lot of good things. This fellow over here did some great things. And there were some funny moments as well and some great moments. We're going to kind of recap it all for you.
Ooh, I like
if
it.
You missed any of it. And little snippets coming up next with Last Call.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule that free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We're going to take you out on the show tonight, the end of a nice long week, with all some of the great highlights that we've had in the last couple days. So we're bringing Mutt in a little bit early. Now, you got an opportunity to work with a big fella. How was that experience?
Christian, Lou, Dimitri, good to see you guys.
Good to see you, as always. Good to see you, Mutt.
I had the easiest shift. I said going in. Because we just got off the air with you. He's full of energy. I had like seven energy drinks at that point.
No, plus we had great guests. We had Bird. Yep. We had Matt Hasselbeck. Well, we didn't have Bird that, but we talked about
Hasselbeck
that.
Hasselbeck was great.
I thought, you know what we need to do? We need to get Pat McAfee on here. Because I feel like there's a guy, if we want to just poke around a little bit, and he's a kicker, right? And he takes himself way too seriously. You could tell when I started ragging on kickers, Matt was like, oh, no, don't poke the bear. So people obviously tease him and don't respect him.
Well, he's big time now. He does ESPN. He does his own show on that Dan Patrick
Network. He's calling games.
He's on Thursday Night Football. But I thought the highlight of Christian with us was the call we got from Dakota from Braintree, a long time. Do I call him a radio veteran, Glenn? What do I do there?
Yeah,
he's a radio veteran.
Radio veteran. Yeah. We have his call,
He gave 10 grand.
Oh, he's a legend.
Call him whatever you get over the top of your goal. So I'm going to make – I can't think of anything else that I would donate more to than this. So I want to donate $10,000 to
you. Wait, is this a prank caller?
So at one point after that, Christian turned his mic off and said, is this real? Well, is this guy real?
He doesn't know
a real person.
I never Dakota met him. From Braintree.
Nope.
So, you thought Dakota was a prank phone call?
Yes, he did.
But my call with Dimitri was real.
Well, Kern was killing you last night. Kern said, finally, Glenn does something funny.
Shut up, Kern.
Well, he's right.
I would not have known unless you guys said it.
See, here's the thing. He's been acting like, I'm so serious. I'm a radio legend, blah, blah, blah. He's funny. He's just too. You're too scared.
You feel the vibration.
Not scared of anything. What are you talking about?
I had no clue.
Dimitri sounds like he owns like a Greek pizza shop.
Yeah,
he makes a really good Greek salad.
It was good. Mention it. I do. But that was great.
Bush bye. I say I need one.
Bush bye.
That was great of Dakota to do that.
That was awesome.
It was tremendous.
And I know because I've had conversations with him over the years. He's been dealing with this for a long time.
Yeah, we're DMing today. He said it's been affecting him for a while. I couldn't think of a better person to donate to than Christian and this whole thing. And $100,000. As everyone has told you, and they're right, above and beyond.
I have no clue.
And it got him. How long was he on the show for you? He came back at midnight, didn't he?
4 hours.
12:15?
He did the Mad Men 2-hour show.
Yeah.
And then he stayed for the, I don't know what I would call Bradford.
Because I heard him saying that he couldn't stay till like past 2 because of insulin and everything.
Yeah, and sleeping. I don't know what.
It's like, I feel like I was going to put him at 3 a.m. I don't know this guy. I was like, yeah, come down, we'll hang out. And he fought for, a better time. So I was like,
you didn't know what you were getting. He's normal,
dude. No idea who he was.
Full of energy. We had Hasselbeck, who was great. And then, because this mic's not working, they said I could leave at 9.
Oh, that's right, because
the BZ News team came in, News Team Assemble. And Roach, turns out Roach is a closet dink. Like, I thought he's the nicest guy in the media.
He's the best.
He's got all these shots at everything. Taking shots at Burton, taking shots taking shots at Levin Reed.
Yeah. It's all fake. It's a TV image. Talk.
25 for 25. Christian and Kim are going to be right at you for the next hour, making sure to put you through your knees. If you got problems with your girl, or even if you got problems with your man, this is the number to call. We've got all your answers, plus We'll smooth everything over with light little shea butter.
And Steph's got loose balls in her purse.
He's outstanding.
All right, so what do you got tonight? Who's a special guest?
I'm not going to tell you who that is. Okay. We are loaded up.
So in other words,
I'm not going to confirm or deny.
Nobody that you
it's a Miles
special.
Garrett world, Glenn. We're living in a Miles Garrett world, baby. Early and often.
All right, Mike, you have a great weekend.
Great weekend, boys.
Fellas, we're going to go out tonight with some of the highlights from the last couple days.
Let's go. I'm going to listen.
Congratulations to you. Get a good weekend sleep.
Yes.
All right. I'll be on the real postgame show. You're on
Sunday
morning.
I'll be on the pregame show. Working.
Sunday morning. We'll all be back 2 o'clock on Monday. But we're going to take you out with Christian Fourier's 25 for 25K that ended up turning into over 100K. Tom Brady has nicely called in to support his old teammate here as we raise some money for the American Diabetes Association.
Hi, guys. My pleasure. Proud of the great work you guys are doing. Good luck motoring.
Mr. Brewski, we're 2.5 hours in, and Fourier is still standing.
I'm proud of you. You know, this is great. 25 straight hours. Like I said, hey, you got a problem at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., give me a call.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins us on the line right now.
We're still going to help out with the Cubs, okay?
There you go. So, that's awesome. My man right
great
there.
Great job. Very proud of you.
Christian Adam Schefter has called to say hello. And
just tip my cap, salute you, and let you know I'll be making a donation in your honor. Can't wait to make a donation because there are a few colleges that are any more worthy than this one. It's very important to me. And I want to just thank you for doing what you're doing here over the 25 hours here.
And right now we bring on the greatest hockey player in the history of the game, the one and only Bobby Orr.
Christian, congratulations. What a great job. Christian, I'll be shocked if the great people of Boston don't get you to 100.
You know what? The people of Boston are awesome. I can't even express how great they are. I mean, they're just so supportive.
Alex Guerrero is here.
Early on when I started 30 years ago, you know, if you were suffered from diabetes back then, it was like, okay, well, it was almost like you're not going to be able to play sports type of thing. It's gotten so much better. It can continue to get better. So that's why I applaud you for what you're doing, you know, not just for your son, but for others that suffer from the disease.
Ray Allen.
Diabetes does not leave us. So I want everybody that's listening to understand that Caleb and Walker have diabetes, and until we find a cure, they're going to have it forever. So we don't rest until we find a cure. We hold our children up, and that's why you're there for 25 hours now, and that's why I'm here to join you, because I want to make sure that people understand. Like, we really take this to heart. We want our kids to be able to live a good life. They're going to make us so proud that it's going to give back to society and the community tenfold just because they're superheroes that have to deal with this terrible disease of diabetes.
Last spring, my son Caleb, who you guys know, got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and it was just a crazy, scary experience from start to finish. You know, you never really know what's going on. He had all these crazy symptoms. We had no idea what was going on. End up rushing him to the hospital, find out literally 5 minutes after we get there that he's got type 1 diabetes. And from then on, it's just education, changing your life. It's learning how to be disciplined. It's teaching him how to be disciplined because there's so many people. It's not just a person that is affected with the disease, but it's the people who support him that are affected by it.
There's insulin, there's needles, there's pump supplies. The list goes on and on and on, and it's hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, depending on your insurance. If you don't have insurance, I don't know how you would ever pay for any of these supplies.
What does Camp Carefree mean to you guys?
Just being diabetic brings everyone closer, but we all go through like our different experiences day to day. All of our different experiences, like we get to use diabetes, that's like our focal point, and it's just that's there, and that alone makes our bond so much stronger than the people you meet day to day in like your high school. So like, it's just the fact that TJ and I both have diabetes that makes us best friends.
This is the Airing of Grievances Hour on WEEI.
Last week I was up for 2 hours.
I know, I'm sorry.
Can you just please put your mouth guard in? And you said maybe later.
You said that?
I knew I was going to get the brunt of this. I just knew it.
It's a combination of snoring and smelling.
What's wrong with the smelling thing?
He smells.
Gassy?
Yes.
I think it's healthy.
Does he fart in bed?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Like a Dutch oven. The three of us are in this conversation, but he's half there and half on his phone scanning through.
Oh, it might be breaking news.
I'm with Kim on the mouth guard thing. Lou, could you put the mouth guard in? Uh-huh. And he still doesn't move. This one.
What?
He chews things.
What do you mean I chew
like,
things?
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
So I had like 17
and then grind. What the hell is going on?
The TV in the kitchen was on and Alexa was on and then the office TV was on and it was all at full blast and you're on the conference call screaming.
I can't tell that I'm being loud.
Am I doing a big reveal?
Yes. Big reveal.
Turn that around.
Turn it around.
Nice.
It's a gigantic check.
$100,000.
Yep, $100,000. How much, Christian?
Here we go. $100,000. The goal was 25.
Wow.
We did 100. Are we popping champagne? We popping bottles.
He's pouring champagne over himself.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's Christian. Thank you so much for supporting my son, the American Diabetes Association, and me during 25 for 25.
Unbelievable stuff. Just a blast for 2 days and a huge success for Christian. It was awesome. Hey, listen, if you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new Rewind feature. If you still don't have the app, just text app 237-937. Have a great weekend. We'll talk Patriots football on Monday with Bill Belichick and two. Mutt at Night is next.
Can take WEEI with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.